Old as the hills. Well, well, you're full of fun, and that's what I say. Take the winkers off that donkey's face and let him get a bit to eat. There's grass enough, God knows, and it's good grass. Mary busied herself with the winkers and the bit, while her father continued. What I wish is this, that Christian people were able to eat grass like the beasts, and then there wouldn't be any more trouble in the world. Are you listening to me, Mary? Are you listening to the donkey? It's you I'm listening to. I say this, that if every person had enough to eat, there'd be no more trouble in the world, and we could fight our fill. What have you got in the basket? I've the loaf that I bought in the shop at Knockbeg, and the half loaf that you took out of the woman's window. It's fresher than the other one. I was guided, said the father. We'll eat that one first, the way no person can claim it. What else have you got? I've the white turnip that I found in a field. There's great nourishment in turnips. The cattle do get fat in them in winter. And I've the two handfuls of potatoes that you gathered at the bend of the road. Roast them in the embers, for that's the only road to cook a potato. What way are we going to eat tonight? We'll eat the turnip first, and then we'll eat the bread, and after that we'll eat the potatoes. And fine they'll taste. I'll cut a turnip for you with a sailor man's jackknife. The day had drawn to its close. The stars had not yet come, nor the moon. Far to the west a red cloud poised on the horizon like a great whale, and moment by moment it paled and faded until there was no more than a pink flush. On high, clouds of pearl and snow piled and fell and sailed away on easy voyages. It was a twilight of such quietude that one could hear the soft voice of the world as it whispered through leaf and twig. There was no breeze to swing the branches of the trees or to creep among the rank grasses and set them dancing. And yet everywhere there was unceasing movement and the sound that never ceased. About them, for mile upon mile, there was no habitation of man. There was no movement anywhere, except when a bird dipped and soared in a hasty flight homewards, or when a beetle went slugging by like a tired bullet. Mary had unharnessed the ass and bade him, with an affectionate kiss, to eat his full. The donkey stood for a moment with his ears and tail hanging down. Then he lifted both his ears and his tail, slung up his ragged head, bared his solid teeth, and brayed furiously for 2 minutes. That accomplished, he trotted briskly a few paces, bent to the grass, and began to eat so eagerly that one would think eating was more of a novelty to him than it could be to an ass of his years. "The sound of the beast's voice does get on my nerves," said Patsy. "He has a powerful voice, sure enough, God bless him. Sit down there by the hedge and light the fire while I'm getting the things ready. The night will be on us in a few minutes, and it will be a cold night." While she moved busily from the cart to the hedge, her father employed himself lighting a fire of turf in a wrinkled bucket. When this was under way, he pulled out a pipe, black as a coal, and off which half the shank was broken, and this he put into his mouth. At the moment, he seemed to be sunken in thought, his eyes to the grass and his feet planted, and it was in a musing voice that he spoke. "Do you know what I'd do, Mary, if I had a bottle of porter beside me in this field?" "I do well," she replied. "You drink it." "I would so, but before I drink it, I'd put the end of this pipe into it, for it's newly cracked, and it sticks to my lips in a way that would anger a man wanting a smoke, and if I could stick it into the porter, it would be cured. I don't suppose now you have a sup of porter in the cart?"
"I have not."
"Because if you had a small sup, I'd be able to get a smoke this night, as well as a drink."
"You're full of fun," said she sourly. "I saw a bottle in your hand a while back," he continued musingly, "and it looked like a weighty bottle. It's full to the neck with spring water."
"Ah," said her father, and he regarded that distant horizon whereon the pink cloud was now scarcely visible as a pinkness and was no longer the shape of a great whale. After a moment he continued in a careless voice, "You might hand me the bottle of spring water, Alanna, till I wet my lips with it. It's a great thing for the thirst, I'm told, and it's healthy beside that. I'm keeping that sup of water to make the tea when we'd be wanting it. Well, I'll only take a drop out of it, and I won't lose the cork."
"You can get it yourself then," said Mary, "for I've plenty to do and you haven't."
Her father